Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. It's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
Look at this, boys and girls. 5 o'clock Tuesday here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. We've got a king-size edition, a full-size edition of the one, the only El Hombre. Michael Bradley with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Michael, how are you?
Is there anything better than sliding down a dinosaur's tail at 5 o'clock into your car and turning on the radio and hearing me? No!
Is that a Flintstones reference?
Of course
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Who else slides down a dinosaur's tail?
I'm guessing there are a lot of people listening going, what does he mean by that? What does that mean?
Then look it up. Google it.
Well, as we broke the news to everybody that you'll be with us at 5 o'clock every Tuesday now until the next football season.
Does that constitute breaking the news to people? And it sounds like we broke the news to people.
We broke it.
To listen to him.
It was breaking news.
All right.
It was a big
Better
deal.
Than breaking wind.
It was a big deal, man. It was a big
okay.
deal. Hey, what was your takeaway from the football weekend? I'm assuming you watched all the games. What was your thought on what you saw from Seattle and Green Bay? Just a dramatically wounded Seahawks team, a score away from getting into the NFC title game, which seemed really improbable.
How about a good ref's call away, perhaps, from getting into it? When you know it was Jimmy Graham, I think. I don't think he made the line on third down there. I think it was a very generous spot, and I think there was enough evidence to show he didn't get there. I don't think they wanted to make that call in Green Bay, but tremendous performance. Russell Wilson was again great. This is it was a good team, as you said. Wounded, offensive line was shaky. They're playing on the road, another long trip, 2 weeks in a row. Heroic effort. Packers, had just had one more touchdown in their pocket.
All right, who's the best NFL team left, El Hombre?
I think it's the 49ers now. Yeah. Andy Reid's team could do it, but having seen what I've seen of him over the years, I'm just waiting for the trouble to start.
it's been unfortunate for him in the playoffs and getting into the playoffs. That's the thing about Andy Reid. But
that was a heck of a comeback, though.
Oh my gosh,
it was outrageous. Look, who knows whether. If they had not gone for that fake punt on 4th and 4 and punted away, do things change? If they had gone for it on 4th and 1 when they kicked the field goal, would things have changed? People say, well, they still didn't score 50 points. Yeah, but they might have scored 35, and the Chiefs may not have gotten the momentum that they got in that first half to start the comeback rolling. So, some questionable decisions. Bill O'Brien kind of owned them. But it was a great comeback, great offensive performance. They just better be able to stop that big old running back from Tennessee, because he's something else.
Well, yeah, Mike, I was just going to bring this up. So three teams in NFL history have won multiple playoff games with fewer than 100 passing yards. Ryan Tannehill throwing for fewer than 100 passing yards in the first two games. All three of those teams in NFL history went on to win the Super Bowl. So if you believe in history, you got to believe that the Tennessee Titans will hoist the Lombardi Trophy in early February. What do you think?
Well, I'm a history major, and I believe in history, but I don't believe that. So I'll say, were the Dolphins one of them, or was that one of the teams that did it?
I didn't go that far with my research.
I think it was the Steelers and the Dolphins might have been it.
Yeah. So, but now look, this is a different team, and Kansas City's got a good defensive coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo, who's going to say, all right, look. Let's put eight guys in the box. Let's make Ryan Tannehill beat us. Now, he had a good second half of the season. He's capable of doing it. I just don't know if he can on such a big stage on the road, et cetera. It's going to be a fascinating game. I think the Packers 49ers is going to be really good. That's going to be fun to watch. The 49ers just strangled Minnesota in the second half on Saturday. So, we got a good Final Four. This should be entertaining. For a while there, CBS was sitting there going, holy cow, Houston and Tennessee? No one's going to watch this. So Kansas City gives them brings a few more eyes because of Mahomes.
What do you think of the popular topic out there now? Is Lamar Jackson overrated? See, we told you he was overrated. There's a lot of I told you so out there. The guy had a brilliant season. I still think he's a really good quarterback. But like Dave brought up and we all talked, everybody gets figured out at some point. And he still, you look at the numbers, outside of the turnovers, he had a typical Lamar Jackson day. Did this game change your opinion of him at all?
It didn't change my opinion because I wasn't ready to anoint him as the greatest quarterback of all time, as many people were. He had a tremendous regular season. He is clearly the most valuable player of the regular season. He did a great job, and he threw two costly interceptions. But he had one that, you know, he had one pass that hit a guy right in the hands or on the chest, and you know that would have been a big play, and he didn't catch it. He played very well. He had two unfortunate turnovers, and the Baltimore defense couldn't stop the running attack. Let's not forget that you know, football's not a one-man game. Football's a 22-man game. Football's a 53-man game. And Baltimore couldn't stop Tennessee's rushing attack. That was a key.
Hey, Michael, I don't know how much of this you got, but as far as beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, I'm just wondering what you made of him. He had a big impassioned speech to the team afterwards. He had a press conference where he was talking about chicken and mentals and things like that. But what do you think? Is there a place for him next year in the NFL, or do you think he wants to come back? I'm just curious your impression of Marshawn Lynch.
If I'm Marshawn Lynch, I do the same thing I did this year. You know, I just kind of chill, wait till somebody needs me at the end of the year, you know, come in, bang some heads, score some touchdowns, take care of the mentals, take care of my chicken. You know, he's just too cool. There's no way he wants to go through a training camp and exhibition games and 16 full games. So he'll hang out in the parking lot at 49ers games, giving out tequila shots or whatever he was doing, and then wait until early December and say, you know, hey, I might want to come in and run a few times. That's about what I think he would do if he wants to play again. He's certainly not going to sign up for a full season.
All right, so LSU won last night, and there was a host here complaining about the length of the game. Did you stay up to watch the whole thing?
I did, but I'll tell you what, it's tough. You know, the Super Bowl's smart. They do it on a Sunday. They do it at 6 o'clock. Game's over by 10. Everybody's okay. I don't know how they can do that with the college game because it sits right in that, you know, around the weekend of these NFL games. Maybe they could, you know, I don't think they'll ever work a deal with the NFL where they'll let them play three games on Saturday. They just won't allow that. But, you know, it's difficult to do this. And the funny thing is, I don't know what, I'd love to see the ratings broken down by region of the country. I'd like to see what, because college football is a regional sport. There's no question about it. When LSU and Clemson play, I'm sure the whole South was tuning in, unless Southern Charm or Real Housewives of Atlanta was on or something like that. I don't think the West Coast had big ratings. I don't think the Northeast did. The Midwest was kind of like, okay, I'm a football fan, I'll watch. But these games are very long. I think they got to push them back and start them maybe at 7:30. I know the 8:15 start gets people home on the West Coast, and they, you know, they're either not going to miss much of it or any of it. But for the two most you know, populous areas, even if you live in the Midwest, which is an hour behind, you're still pushing into 11 o'clock. And that's tough to do for a lot of people if you got to get up early and go to work.
What about Ed Orgeron, Michael? I assume there's no one in the world who dislikes him.
It's impossible to dislike Big Ed Orgeron, I'll tell you what, because he's a Cajun man, he can talk a lot, and he can go Tigers.
I had the opportunity when I used to do a thing for the Sporting News called Behind Enemy Lines, where I would talk to a bunch of assistant coaches about teams they played and get some, you know, honest opinions of them about teams and players. And then I would sort of run it as one big block of copy as if one scout were saying it. And I never told anybody who I talked to. Orgeron was one of those guys. And calling him up every week was great. He was a defensive line coach, and he was just like, well, I'll tell you, that offensive line's not as good as they say it is, and you know, we're able to do a couple of things with them and get the pass rush off the edge. He was great then. He's great now. How do you not like the guy?
I just love hearing him speak. I don't even really care what he's saying.
Everyone impersonates him, too.
Well, how do you not? I mean, the best part is it's like they're going, shut up, they're going to Orgeron.
Yep.
And then it's, you know, good luck, coach. Go Tigers. It's tremendous. What I want to see is like take a baby or somebody, you know, and have him move in his mouth and put Ed Orgeron's voice inside it or something like that. I'm surprised those memes haven't shown up yet.
Oh, Jim loves those. That'll be out there soon. meanwhile, the Browns have a new head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who I think was on the staff for the Vikings for what, 20 games? Is that what they said? 20 games? Is that enough to convince you he's the answer, the cure for what ails the Browns?
No, because, I mean, if the Browns hired him, then it's probably a mistake, right? I mean, I hate to say it.
I don't think you do.
It's a bad move.
I don't think you hate saying it at all.
No, I mean, it's sort of like it used to be for a while. It's like you didn't want to be drafted by the Sacramento Kings because that meant you stunk. And it's like, okay, at the sixth pick, the Sacramento Kings, the whole green room gets very tense. Everybody gets quiet. Please not me. Please not me. Buddy Hield. Oh, no, I stink. So it's like the Browns are going to make a mistake. And the Browns, if the Browns were smart, they would keep their mouths shut, go about the business of building a team, go about the business of practicing and getting ready for the season, then come out and play football. Stop telling us Baker Mayfield's the best. Stop telling us who's picking you to win, betting on you to win the Super Bowl. Put a muzzle on OBJ. There he is in the locker room last night giving out fake money to the LSU players. Shut your mouths, play football, and let's see if you can do something well this year.
Hey, Michael, your impressions of the poor kid getting hauled off the field last night with the cops and everything. I mean, whenever they eject somebody for the targeting rule, I just think it's a bad look. And why does the kid have to leave the sidelines? And then, you know, my thing on that is I just don't think that that's correctable behavior. So you're just going to keep throwing guys out for playing football and making tackles. Where do you think that's going?
I think you're right. If somebody gets tossed for doing that, take their helmet, take their shoulder pads, give them to somebody, a third party or whatever, and then just have the guy stand on the sidelines in the jersey. Let him stay with his teammates. Do not make such an example out of him. It's like a perp walk. It's ridiculous. The kid has done something wrong. Most of the time, it's not, you know, they're not trying to hit the guy in the head. Most of the time they make a bad decision on how they're leading to make the tackle, and then they end up unfortunately hitting the other player in the head. They sure don't want to leave the game. They're certainly not saying it's time for me to go. All right, if you want to do that, fake an injury. But so let's not make them out to be these heinous criminals who are doing things that are awful and assaults on society. Take the helmet, take the shoulder pads, put them in sweats. You know, wait, if it's in the first half, take the helmet and shoulder pads, and then at halftime put him in a pair of sweats so there's no chance he's going to come back. And then just let him be with his teammates.
El Hombre, Michael Bradley is our guest here with Bob, Dave, and more. Extended edition, which will be happening until football season starts again. So, yeah, a lot of people celebrating, a lot of people rejoicing in the streets in front of us, Michael. Hey, did you see?
I can imagine. They're pouring champagne on top of themselves.
Did you see the latest... the latest video from Antonio Brown?
Yes, it's ridiculous.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing. And he you know, the another sponsor, I think it was the Boys Clubs or somebody, dissociated themselves.
What was
I don't know who did it.
It was the police athletic, the youth.
Yeah, police pal.
Yeah, they apparently he made a donation to him, and they have since returned it and said they have we've made the decision to sever ties between Mr. Brown and the Hollywood Police Athletic League. We do not want our youth to be subject to this type of behavior or emulate the actions of Mr. Brown. And then he takes to Twitter and says, Hollywood police and I need a meeting unless I'm going to show their track record of my injustice consistently. I mean, he's nuts. I mean, there's something wrong with him, legitimately wrong.
And that makes it sad. It doesn't make it funny or doesn't make it worth our
disturbing.
Our and I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm saying some people are out there making fun of him. This guy has some serious mental health issues. And right now, the people who care about him should be working to try to get him the care that he needs so that he doesn't do something to himself or someone else.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I tweeted out. I tweeted out the video and said, if anybody around this guy gives a damn about him, they're going to do everything they can to get him help because he's melting down in front of the world. I mean, he's screaming at cops in front of his children, screaming at his children getting into the cop car, and it just, I'm going, why would you record this and then put it out there for public consumption? It makes no sense. He's just,
no,
he's completely unhinged.
And it's happened at record speed. I mean, it's, you know, we always knew when he was with Pittsburgh that he was a delicate personality. He was a diva. He was in trouble, you know, a little bit. But now all of a sudden, as soon as he got with the Raiders, it just went down colossally quickly. I mean, we're talking car down the icy hill. It's just insane. And you're right. Someone who cares about him must get him into a position where he can be medicated or counseled or whatever, just plain helped, before he does something that is going to impact somebody else, harmful to somebody else or harmful to himself. It's very sad.
Don't you feel like we're going to read a headline about him that he's either in jail, he's committed some sort of heinous crime, or he's going to end up dead? I mean, feels like we're headed for a really dramatic, ugly ending for him.
That's what I mean, and that's, I don't want to see that headline. I don't get any joy about reading about what he's done. I don't say, oh, here's another crazy thing for Antonio Brown. I say, can we please help him get himself under control?
All right, let's lighten the mood here, Michael. This is my sure. my favorite story of the day. So there was a guy at a Lakers game that did the halftime mid-court shot, and he won $100,000. And there was a guy at a Knicks game a few days later over the weekend who ended up winning $1,000 worth of lottery tickets, and he told the Action Network, the guy who made it at the Knicks game, I was sort of like, what the bleep, man? Some dude just won $100,000 doing the same bleep in L.A., and I get some bum-ass lottery tickets.
That's so beautiful.
So what do you think? Should the Knicks make it up to this guy or what? El Hombre.
You know James Dolan at all? He's not going to make it up to the guy. He may ask for a cut of the winnings if any of the lottery tickets hit. So this is classic Knicks. It's really amazing how certain franchises you can just know that they're never going to be good. The Washington NFL franchise, as long as little Danny Snyder owns it. The Knicks, as long as Dolan owns it. For a while there, you always knew the Cardinals were going to mess up when Bidwell Sr. owned them. They weren't going to be any good because he was so cheap. So it's a lot of fun to watch franchises that are being poorly run by megalomaniacs like Dolan just do the wrong thing at all turns. The fans in New York are out of their minds. You know, I saw somebody today, I'm like, hey, Joe Judge. And the guy's like, I'm all over it, man. One of my students is from New York. I'm all over it because I have no choice. And it's like, yes, you're an addict. They keep feeding you bad Giants football, and you keep consuming it, even though you know it's bad for you.
This guy who got the lottery tickets, he got $205 scratch-off tickets, and he ended up winning $500. So,
oh, well, there you go. That's great.
Hold on, man.
I couldn't even give him the $1,000, right?
Yeah.
He
so he got cut in half.
In lottery tickets, and he gets $500.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's what I would say. I'd say, hey, go back, take these back, give me my grand. Wait, he made a half-court shot?
He swished it.
See, I missed that part. I thought they just gave it away to him. I'm like, oh, well, you know, what are you complaining about? It's better than nothing. Holy smokes. What a ripoff.
And me, how'd you like to be in New York? Rangers, Islanders, you know, the Islanders are pretty good. Rangers stink. Mets, now you get Carlos Beltran as your manager, right? And, or Carlos Beltran on the team or whatever. Is he managing it or is he what it was?
He's a manager.
Involved in this. He's the manager involved. He's tangentially involved in the cheat gate that just cost Alex Cora his job. The Astros get off easy. You got to love that.
Do you think they got off easy?
Without a doubt. Here's the thing. Remember this. Organizations will always try to protect themselves. Major League Baseball is protecting one of its franchises. They don't care about A.J. Hinch or Jeff Luno. They don't care about that. $5 million, that's a mere bag of shells, okay? Draft picks, they're picking at the bottom of the order anyway. They don't care. You really want to hurt them? Take away the championship, okay? You want to hurt them? Take away their international money. You want to hurt them? Tell their owner, who's supposed to be knowing what's going on with his team, and hired a guy who won't even apologize. I'm not a cheater. I didn't know about what was going on. Really, they're banging trash cans in the dugout. Okay, pal, you don't know that? Please, then you deserve to be fired because you're either too stupid to run a team or you knew about it and now you're lying. Your owner hired you and let you run the team where this was going on. If he didn't know about it, then he's a jerk also. He should be suspended like Steinbrenner was back in the 70s by baseball because when he was being a complete horse's backside. They should be stripped of the title. This is not enough. But as usual, the organization bands together to protect itself, and it sacrifices the individual.
What about the player? We've talked about steroids, and you're a blanket guy. Everybody's complicit because they didn't bring it to anybody's attention. So do you look at the players in that dugout on that roster as the same? Everybody's complicit because nobody brought it up. And you think,
sure, without a doubt. Now it's a little different here because this seemed to be an organization-run project. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're using the video replay screen in the dugout and getting the feed and then banging the trash can. And then you would imagine that the manager knows about it and the manager's okay with it. So if you're the one that speaks out about it, then do you get retribution from the manager or the general manager? Okay. It's only a couple years, so it's not their whole careers. I always say about the steroids, if you played from 94 to 2008, if the bulk of your career was during that time, and you are going for the Hall of Fame, you don't belong in there because everybody was juicing. Or if they weren't juicing, they weren't speaking up about it.
All right, speaking of juicing, when is the NFL going to get their weed?
I think it's coming. I think it's coming in the next – that's going to be – if we go to a 17-game schedule –
yeah.
The weed's going to be the
give us our weed.
The,
yeah,
yeah, it's no doubt, and the NFL won't be stupid, right? They're going to have sponsorships in Denver and in other states where it's legal. Come on, so the weed will be legalized when they go to 17 games and cut the exhibition games to 2. That's when the weed comes in. So it's probably in the next year or two.
He is Michael Bradley. You can follow him on Twitter at Daily Ombre. At Daily Ombre is where you're going to find him on Twitter, and you can tell him how much you love hearing him for a full segment, which is what, again, you will be hearing every Tuesday at 5 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and Moore.
I can see it now. Hard hits and bong hits. You know, it's just it's a promotional man's dream, right?
Michael, good to talk to you. Nice, full conversation. We'll do it again next week.
Excellent. So long, suckers.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
How'd that feel, Jim?
It felt great. I was just looking at the Mariners' schedule because someone texted in wondering if El Hombre was going to come out when the Phillies are here in over the 4th of July weekend.
Hey, do you know what he looks like?
I do, just because I see his Twitter picture.
Okay, I'm not on his Twitter page. I have no idea what El Hombre looks
he
like.
He does not look the way you think he does. I'll just say that.
I have a picture in my mind. I think he has kind of wild, dark hair and a black goatee.
No.
Wow.
Is he blonde-haired, blue-eyed? That would be...
No, he's a little guy. He's very little. Well, we'll show you his picture during the break.
I don't know if I want to see it.
All right. Well, maybe we won't show
you. Just have him come out here, and I'll meet him, and he'll just start talking, and then I'll know. Don't even introduce him.
You go, you're him? That's you? That doesn't add up. All right, coming up, Jim ranked his top 10 free agents for the Seahawks. We'll see if we all agree with his top 10 list. That's coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
You know who it is, Jim? It's the same one I've asked you 5 times.
Kings of Lions. Lions of Kings.
Walking papers.
There you go. Jim's memory is just not there. It's okay. It's okay, Jim. You made a list of 10 free agents on this team. You ranked them
I posted at 710sports.com. There's 22 unrestricted free agents, and there were several that I really wasn't interested in. Yeah, if they come back, fine. If they don't, it's not like you're going to miss them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to hear that group first?
Yeah.
Okay, Ziggy Ansah, Jerron Brown. Or is it Jaron Reed, Jerron Brown, not Reed, but Akeem King, Kalen Reed, C.J. Procise, Robert Turbin, Dakota Watson, and Geno Smith. All guys that, if they come back, fine, but if they don't, it's not much of a priority. I don't think Marshawn Lynch is coming back. He's unrestricted. Josh Gordon, unlikely to return. And I'm on the fence, and I thought of you, Dave, when I was saying I was on the fence with this guy, Nico Thorpe being, I'm on the fence with him, but Dave talks about how good he is on
special teams.
And Al Woods is another guy I would put as being on the fence. And mainly I put those two guys there because I was trying to come up with a top 10.
Okay, so just you don't want to do top 12. Yeah.
But Dave, you probably want Nico Thorpe back, don't you?
Well, sure. I mean, if he's not gonna cost him a whole bunch of money, I mean, I have a feeling he'll probably get, you know, more than they want to pay him, you know. So I think he's a very valuable special team player, but, it's just going to be who's out there, you know, what do other teams think about him and how much are you going to pay him, you know, and it's the same thing. And it's not on the same level, even close to being on the same level as, Justin Coleman, but, you know, Justin Coleman was a really valuable player. And, you know, that was a guy that the rest of the NFL thought he was really good too. So really, that's all that matters. I mean, it's a free market system. So, you know, and the good news is if you're a free agent, you don't just get what one team thinks about you. You get what all 32 think.
What about Al Woods?
Yeah, Al Woods, I wonder what happened with him. I don't know what he tested positive for, but that was, you know, that was kind of, it seemed very opposite of the kind of person that he is. But, you know, he was a good, solid defensive tackle that you couldn't move in the run game. And that's what I think you have to have part of that as a good run defense. You have to have one. And, you know, another guy like Jaron Reed. I thought he was great opposite of Reed because Reed can move around a little bit more, but Woods couldn't really. But, I mean, he was still hustling sideline to sideline, and he was just a guy you couldn't move. But if you're going to have a good run defense, I talk about being physical and linebackers stepping up and smashing people in the mouth, and that's something that needs to happen. But you also have to have that guy, Al Woods, you know, a guy that's an immovable object up front.
All right, Jim. Top 10.
You want to go number one or 10?
No, start with 10.
10, I've got Brandon Jackson, and I just wrote that he's a rotational defensive lineman, 3.5 sacks this year. And at the right price, you might want to bring him back, not like he's a huge priority. Number 9, I've got Luke Wilson, and I thought about putting him higher because we all love him. Personally.
We love him, but I think I've asked you a couple times. Do you think he's going to be back?
Luke?
I think he's become a good blocker. I think that was kind of a knock on him when he first got here. Yeah, his blocking's a little suspect, and now you look at him, and it seems like that's more of what he brings to the table as opposed to pass catching is his ability to block. But is he somebody you feel like they've got to bring him back? I'd like him back.
I think they will bring him back. I think they will, and it's not just because he's the juice master guy, but that definitely is part of it. I'll say this. At the end of my career, if I'd have been the Luke Wilson of the Broncos, I think they would have brought me back.
Personality-wise, you mean?
Yeah. If I would have been, you know, I was, you know, the first thing that put me in a bad mood was when Fire Marshal Bill cut my pay by 75%, and it was coming from the coach instead of the GM. So that kind of set the tone for the rest of my attitude for the rest of the year. So, yeah, but, I mean, if I had to do it over again, I guess I would have been a little bit more cheery, better to be around, help the younger guys, you know, positive, things like that, and I probably wasn't that. I always picture myself as being much worse than I probably was, but
you don't think you were fun to be around?
Well, you know, pretty much. I had friends. I mean, I had friends on the team and everything. It's just that, you know, probably for him and the defensive coordinator at the time, I wasn't super, you know, engaged. And I walked out of a meeting with one of the defensive coordinator one time because he was telling me a bunch of stuff I didn't want to hear. And, you know, it was just, yeah, I had a little, I won't say it was a bad attitude, but I was a vet who was kind of salty a little bit. But, you know, Luke is not that way at all. He's the opposite of that. And I think that's going to cause them to bring him back, I guess is my point, instead of going into the sad history of the last year of my career. But, you know, I think Luke is going to be one of those guys that he's good enough to bring back for sure and then see if he fits in.
Can I give you a little quick breaking news here?
Sure.
Luke Kuechly at the age of 28 is retiring.
No kidding.
Wow.
Concussions.
I there's a video here on Twitter, and he's speaking, and obviously we can't hear it, so I'm not sure what the reason is. But
wonder if that's it.
I'm sure
they just have one quote. It's tweeted out by the Carolina Panthers, and the quote is, "In my heart, I know it's the right thing to do."
Yeah.
Wow.
That was sad.
28 years old. Jeez.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's the same year as Bobby. Bobby 29?
Yeah.
28, 29? Yeah, it's amazing that those guys think they're old. You know, Bobby's like, "Hey, I'm an old veteran now." My gosh. 28 years old, 29 years old, that's young.
That's crazy. Wow.
It's kind of sad for him. I remember, I told you guys the story where I got a concussion a couple years ago, and I started crying for some reason, and I didn't really know why.
A couple of years ago or when you were playing?
It was 2011.
Oh, so after you're done playing.
Yeah, I slipped. It was the hardest hit I've ever taken.
Wasn't
in my
the bike
life.
Riding accident?
No, it wasn't the bike riding.
That was a shoulder.
In that one too.
Oh, you hit your head in that? I thought it was just the shoulder.
No, a whole side of my helmet was caved in. But then about, you know, 3-4 weeks later, I slipped on the ice and I had my shoulder in a sling because of the shoulder surgery, and the side of my face went into the corner of my F-150 bumper.
Oh.
It was the hardest hit I've ever taken. And so I got up and I was like, I threw my keys in the garbage can. It was the first thing I did because I couldn't find my keys the next day. And then I went inside and I started babbling, and then I start crying. And my wife is like, why are you crying? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I remember the visual of him.
When he was going off the field, yeah, and he was crying, I was like, oh, no, man, that's a bad sign. And it's too bad for him because I bet you the reason and the things he's talking about in that video, I can't hear it, but I bet he's talking about that he can't play the way he wants to play anymore.
Wow. All right, so there you go. There's a bit of breaking news. Again, Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers at the age of 28 is calling it a career.
Is he really 28?
28 years old.
Somebody just texted in Bobby's 30.
Yeah, it just says Ian Rappaport retweeted, wow.
Same
Panthers
year.
Star Luke Kuechly retires at age 28. So there you go. Jim, let's get the rest of your top 10 quickly.
Rest of the top 10, I've got offensive lineman at 8, 7, and 6 of free agents that you'd like the Seahawks to keep. Joey Hunt, George Fant, Mike Iupati. I've got Jaron Reed at number 5. I wasn't so sold on Reed, and I think his asking price is going to be a little high. I've got Quentin Jefferson at number 4. I thought he had a solid season this year. At 3, I've got Jermaine Ifedi, and I know a lot of people probably disagree with that, including you, Bob, by that reaction. Michael Kendricks at number 2, and then everybody has Jadeveon Clowney at number 1.
Yeah, I agree with your 1 and your 2. Your 3, I'm not on board with that one.
Yeah, well, that's fine, Bob.
Yeah,
it's a good list.
Well, we'll see. If you're Schneider, I don't know how you sort through all of this, but
maybe you should.
Probably asking price.
Send it to him.
I will.
I can get that to him if you want, or I know you can. Maybe send it through the boys.
Oh, with my kids.
All right, there you go. There's the top 10 list. Again, you can check out Jim's article at 710sports.com. Coming up, no one can seem to answer the question, and I asked Dave about this earlier. We asked Dwayne Brown about it. Why do the Seahawks start so slow? We're going to take our best shot at answering that. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
This is Kings of Lions.
Okay, I knew that.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. Listen to that Luke Kuechly video during the break with DJ there. He doesn't really specify anything other than, I've been taught you need to play football as fast and as hard as you possibly can, and I don't feel like I can do that anymore, and
yeah,
just feels like the time. He doesn't reference concussions or anything, but he was 5th in the league in tackles this year behind Bobby Wagner, Blake Martinez, Jordan Hicks, and Buda Baker.
Well, that makes sense, though. I mean, if you can't fly around and play as hard as you can, I mean, look, I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like that would probably be it. And the one thing, let's see, I keep bringing my
deal with any other injuries
experiences in there. No, I haven't, but I
played all 16 this year.
My sophomore year, I had a string of like 3 when I was in college. And the doctor said that it gets more and more likely, you know, the more that you do it. And then it just stopped until my senior year when I had that kick-ass game.
Yeah. He's
USC.
He's 28 and Bobby's 29. Bobby will.
Yeah. I thought people were texting in that he's 30.
Yeah. Bobby's birthday is in June and Kuechly will be 29 in April.
But I guarantee you that's it. There's no other injuries that Luke Kuechly's had, at least that I've seen anyway.
Yeah, so that's the big breaking NFL news. Meanwhile, we talked about this earlier.
Sorry. 360 says he's taking care of his mentals.
Yeah.
that's true, though. It's true. One of the topics we had earlier today is the slow starts. We brought that up earlier. We asked Dwayne Brown about it yesterday for this team. Here's his answer.
I wish I could pinpoint it, man. You know, if I could, then, you know, I would be able to articulate it to the team and try to change as much as we could. You know, we went into that game knowing that we needed to start fast, knowing that we needed to stay on the field and keep that offense off the field as much as possible. We didn't get that accomplished, you know, and got down by a few scores. What we did in the second half, I mean, we just have to find a way to bottle that up, you know. And like you said, it's been flipped, it's been reversed in some games, and we start fast and then we kind of plateau and don't do much. And so we just have to find a way to bottle that up and put it in the 4 quarters, because when we do, we can be a dangerous offense. And so it's I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but we'll figure it out.
I wish more people would say that. Of course, we can't do that in our business.
Say what?
I don't know.
I say it all the time.
Well, that's true, Jim.
Jim's made a living of I don't know. Quickly, before we jump in on this with our ideas, here's what Pete Carroll said about it. He was asked about the slow starts, and obviously the most recent going down 21-3 to the Packers in the first half and a completely different second half.
Just the results are similar, you know, that it's happened again, you know. You know, it's 7-3 at the end of the first quarter, I think, you know. So we're not doing much on offense at the time. I had one drive. But, you know, I don't have the lock on it because I'd have changed it if I did, you know. But it ain't how you start, you know. It's what you do with the finish of it. And we need to be better, though. We need to be more powerful at the early part of these games. It's not that we didn't find times on the road during the year to be good early, but... you know, I don't know that it's a divisional game. I don't know. You know, that's why you fight so hard to play at home. You know, so you have that advantage.
Okay, I'm not really sure what he was saying at the end there, but they got out to an early lead on the Panthers. We're talking about Luke Kuechly. They got out to an early lead in that game. That wasn't a home game, and they sort of kicked it away toward the end. But it feels like there's an urgency when they're in a hole, right? I don't know if the play calls are different than they are in the first half. I don't know if the tempo, is it a tempo thing? Is it, hey, we're not going to run on second and long. We're going to pass on second and long. Is it something changes? I don't know if it takes them a half to figure out the holes in the opposing defense, but it's remarkably consistent.
You know what I'd say if I was Pete? Who cares? I've won double-digit games 8 of the 10 years that I've been here, and we've gone to the playoffs 8 of 10, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Did it cost them this game?
I don't know.
I mean, if they had one more, if they were a little bit more aggressive or changed the tempo, and I don't know that these are answers. I'm just throwing it out there. But
I think you got to throw out that game. I mean, maybe you can. Aaron Levine from KCPQ there, Dave, and you work with him, but he tweeted out something about the slow starts in this round at Atlanta, at Carolina, and then at Green Bay. And so there's a pattern there. But I say you should throw out this game because you had Travis Homer and Marshawn Lynch as your running backs. If you had Chris Carson and Rashad Penny at full health, it could have been completely different. Maybe the Seattle would have been ahead 21-3 at halftime.
But haven't they gotten off to slow starts with those guys there, though? It seems to be just sort of who they are. It's just kind of how they like it.
Well, they're trying to establish the running game so they can do the play action and go vertical. And so we know all of that. But I'm with everybody else that would like to see Russell unleashed a little more in the first half than when you desperately need him to scramble and do all the things that he does when he gets out of the pocket.
I'm trying to remember just any time where they got off to a start where they, you know, had like hurry up offense going out there. I know that's been the answer. This has been a question that's been posed for what, the last few years.
Yeah. It's just been their nature.
Well, right? There was, what was it? Almost a year and a half where they didn't score on an opening drive. You remember we had streak going for a while?
It ended in London.
Is that where it was?
Yes. Because there was like, I think it was 18 games or something that they hadn't scored on an opening drive and they scored there. So that would be a game that they got out in front on. But man, it's just, and I'm sure for Pete, it probably drives him nuts, right? Because he's a pretty self-effacing coach. Like he'll go, yeah, you know, I'll take a look at that. I got to, you know, a lot of coaches will just go, on to the next game or whatever. I mean, I feel like he tries to take a look at everything, right? Mm-hmm. He's very healthy that way, they would say, you know.
Self-evaluation.
Yeah, you're self-aware. You're like, yeah, this is a problem. And I've heard him say, you know, a couple of times, we're going to have to, you know, see if we can get better at that. And that's a smart thing to do. And I'm sure that they will look into that in the off season and see, but it's a tough one. You know, you got two of the smartest guys. Well, Pete, and then of course Dwayne Brown talking about it. Neither of them can figure it out. So, but it'll be interesting to see if they work on that and if maybe they'll change that personality of theirs.
And I wonder if it is something just as simple as tempo, or hey, maybe we just change our philosophy on a second and long situation, or I don't know. He knows more about football than I could ever hope to, but it is consistent. And as much as I do believe what he says, when he says, well, you can't win it in the first, second, third, fourth, or third, you can bury yourself. You can dig a hole that becomes really problematic, that really you spend a lot of energy just battling back to become competitive in a second half. And they've gotten away with it, so maybe the urgency isn't there to correct it, but maybe they could make their life easier if they could just figure out a way to be a little bit more productive in the opening of a game or the first half.
Yeah, if you're him, though, like, where's that rank on the things that need to be fixed?
that's probably down there because you point to the record. Hey, we're getting away with it. We're winning 11 games, 12 if you count the playoff game. We've got bigger concern. We need a pass rush. We need this. We need, you know.
But I could see him going, you know what, though? We should look at that. I mean, it's been brought up enough by the media, right? I mean, people are asking, and rightfully so. It's a strange phenomenon. When he can't name it, Dwayne Brown can't point to it, Russell probably can't. It's just a strange phenomenon, and hopefully they'll have an answer, and we'll be seeing a couple of those where they just blow teams out because they didn't do any of that. What was the point differential this year?
Plus 10, including the playoffs.
Plus 10. Yeah, so, and I can't believe I'm talking about point differential because we never used to talk about it. And I was actually poo-pooing the whole thing a couple weeks ago, but now all of a sudden it's
now
a
you're
thing.
On board.
Next thing you know, I'll be saying single high safety.
Single high safety. We're going to go with the low, what did you call it, Jim? The low safety.
Single low safety.
Single low
double,
safety.
How about the double low safety?
Double low safety, yeah. We're going to create a new phrase here, a new term. All right, coming up next, one of my all-time favorite segments on this show. It is What We Learned, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
It's time to see what we learned today. And Maura, I don't think we learned why the Seahawks get off to slow starts, but I'm imagining there are a lot
still
of
still a mystery.
Things. It's still a mystery.
Yeah, well, Jim learned, apparently, for the first time, what El Diablo means.
How'd you come up with El Diablo anyway? You just were kind of fun with it, right?
Diablo means devil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't know
the devil.
I did not know.
Yeah.
That.
So that's why I started calling him El Diablo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The man, the devil, whatever.
You didn't know that, Jim?
No, I didn't know that, Maura.
Oh, wow.
I just thought it would be funnier to you because you
Does everyone know what Diablo means?
Diablo.
Diablo, not Diablo.
Diablo.
Diablo, yeah. Okay. I'd say probably
Spanish for devil.
I would say 90% of our audience knew what Diablo meant.
I apologize to Mr. Morelli.
Okay.
And who's Mr. Morelli? I took
Oh, your Spanish teacher.
2 years of Spanish at Redmond High School.
You guys didn't cover El Diablo, though.
No, we probably did.
But. All right. He'd have loved your pronunciation of Diablo.
Is it Morelli an Italian name?
It is.
Why weren't you taking Italian from him?
Because they didn't offer that at Redmond High School.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start calling
him. He was cool.
I'll bet. Yeah. I'm going to start calling him El Diablo now.
Okay. El Diablo.
Jim, I didn't appreciate you mocking me.
Yeah, you sounded legitimately annoyed with her response.
I feel so bad about that, Maura. I'm sorry.
Wow. Look at that.
Maura, why don't you imitate Jim?
We learned that Jim and I are no longer friends today.
Yeah, Maura, let's hear you impersonate me. Go ahead. Well, I don't know. You know, you could do that.
You just did it to yourself.
No, I know. I was trying to give you some help there.
Duh. I don't know. What's Diablo?
Look, there's actual professional broadcasters in there watching us right now. Aaron Goldsmith and Gary Hill getting ready for the hot stove.
We're embarrassing ourselves.
Yeah.
She's too nice to even make fun of you.
Can you guys believe we actually have a show?
Yeah, I think that's well established.
I don't think they can hear you.
Yeah, they believe that.
Got a Pac-12 game this week?
Jim's having a discussion with somebody behind the glass.
Who I don't think can hear him.
Nobody else can hear him.
Their mics are on in there, Jim, which shuts off the
You said it's a Cougs game, so kind of.
Is it a Cougs game? Are you doing the Oregon game Thursday?
Jim, this is a one-sided conversation going on here, man.
Every time I turn on the mic, they can't hear us, so this isn't really working.
One time, Jim had a screaming match with Jess in that same manner, except he didn't have his button pushed. He was just yelling at the glass.
Okay.
And Jess is screaming back at him through the microphone, actually getting through. And I didn't know that they were really mad at each other, so I was just trying to lighten the mood. I'm like, hey, dummy, why don't you push the button there if you want her to hear you? And then I didn't realize you guys were actually going at it.
It was serious.
Can you believe that Jim got under the skin of Jessamyn McIntyre?
No.
Have you ever seen her mad?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Never.
It's entertaining.
It is entertaining. There was one time at Hooters down at spring training.
Oh.
And she was letting you have it. And I was like, I was sitting there going, yeah, that's right, Jess. Get him.
Get him.
Sick him.
Yeah, I knew to keep my mouth shut then.
You didn't fire back.
I mean, I opened it and then I knew when to
I was going to say, what happened before that?
You didn't fire back in that one, huh?
No, it wasn't good.
I hope you don't mind, Jim. It was very entertaining for me, personally.
Yeah, under my breath, I was picturing you laughing while you were sitting there, even though you couldn't laugh.
Oh, yeah, I was.
I do like the idea of you screaming at the glass and she can't hear you.
Yeah, he had like no concept that Like you have to push the button or
there's hey, a reason. Dummy.
Okay. Glass is so thick.
What else did we learn, Maura?
Jim's done with this conversation.
We learned the texters officially declared you guys old today.
It's because they're going to get on social media and they're going to be on Twitter and somebody's going to take a picture of them or a video of them and put it out there and post it. And
it's almost like every turnover now by the defense, if they get an interception or a fumble, they all run to the end zone and do a team photo.
Team photo, yeah. You guys are so old and lame. It's entertainment. It's so entertaining when George Kittle goes, I love that. That's so
like
cool.
He's making a...
Like he's shooting a free throw. That's so cool. Do it again, George. Do it again. It's awesome.
Who is that an impression of, Bob?
I don't even know. Just... Somebody who thinks it's really cool when he does that. That's so cool. See that hand thing he did? Do it again. It's awesome.
Yeah, so we're told we're old.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to collect some of the mean texts we get.
That'd be great.
Maybe on Friday we'll go through the greatest hits of the week.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, that you got to do better than that, though. We're not going to do you guys are bad or you're dumb. At least be creative.
I don't get it.
I don't either, but I think it's like...
Okay, boomer.
It's like a new
baby,
saying.
Okay,
that's out
baby
there.
Boomer. Oh. You know, you oldster.
You haven't heard that one?
I thought you were talking oldster. About Boomer Esiason.
No, it's a new term out there to show you're old.
Or the guy. who am I thinking of? Keith? Not Keith Olbermann. Boomer. They call him Boomer.
Oh, Chris Berman.
Oh, Chris Berman.
By the way, during the radio broadcast, I thought this was bizarre. We were doing the game. Rabel pointed out that one of the team doctors for Green Bay looked just like Chris Berman.
Did he?
That was great. So then I got out my binoculars, and instead of watching the game, I'm looking down there for the doctor.
She said, you're right. Looks just
there's
like
Boomer.
Him. What else, Maura?
We learned that Dave does not want to know what Alambre looks like. He doesn't want the surprise ruined.
Hey, do you know what he looks like?
I do, just because I see his Twitter picture.
Okay, I'm not on his Twitter page. I have no idea what Alambre looks
he
like.
He does not look the way you think he does. I'll just say that.
I have a picture in my mind. I think he has kind of wild, dark hair and a black goatee.
No.
Wow.
Is he blonde-haired, blue-eyed? That would be...
No, he's a little guy. He's very little. He's well, we'll show you his picture during the break.
I don't know if I want to see it.
All right. Well, maybe we won't show
just,
you.
Just have him come out here, and I'll meet him. And he'll just start talking, and then I'll know. Don't even introduce him.
You go, you're him? That's you? That doesn't add up. We still haven't shown him a picture. You have no idea what he looks like, right?
This is what I picture he looks like.
Dave just drew a picture of a devil with a pitchfork and a tail and a goatee.
That's which not... makes so much more sense now that Jim knows what El Diablo means.
A Diablo?
I'll show you. Yeah, Diablo.
Okay, so I said Diablo once. I know it's Diablo.
Yeah. No, you know, you remember that picture of Salk that we have? That's what I picture he looks like.
I'm not sure what picture you're referring to.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's like a 666 somewhere on his forehead.
What else do we learn, Maura?
That's all the learning that we have time for today.
That's probably good. It's probably good we're done learning. All right. That does it for us. I want to thank our guest today, John Clayton and El Hombre, Michael Bradley, or El Diablo, as Jim likes to call him. If you missed any of that, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then click on our picture. It's always there waiting for you each and every day. We're back with you tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
We're probably going to get a ham sandwich or maybe some boudin or something.